Praise the Lord. Thank you. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. If people stop there, amen, amen. But they don't even know what the rest of that scripture says. It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And you know what? It really don't mean that God will not, you won't be on a ship that gets wrecked. Paul was on a ship, got shipwrecked. But God took care of Paul. An angel showed up and the other guys would have perished that was around. See, we're kind of like the Apostle Paul. We are the anointed of God. And you know what, praise God? The Bible says 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right, but it shall not come nigh us. You know, people can fall away from the Lord, quit church all they want to, but don't you get your eyes on it and let it discourage you. Don't you let it faze you at all. If the people loses their marriages, don't you let it faze you at all. If people don't want to serve the Lord, don't let it faze you at all. You just make up your mind, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. We going to follow the Lord. We going to pay attention to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the anointing comes on those kind of people. See, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. It don't mean that he's going to take you out of hardship, necessarily. I have seen him before do it in my own life and other folks' life because they were believing God, but it really don't matter if you're believing God whether he takes you out or not, because you've got a confidence in the middle of that he's in there. He's working. He's doing something for you. So you really don't want to be delivered from what is really ailing you because you're already delivered on the inside. See, I got delivered on the inside in my marriage. And then God was able, because I got priorities straightened out in my heart with the Lord, repented about things. And, you know, I repented of doing my wife wrong, my mother-in-law, and whatever. I got born again, and then it wasn't long. God began to heal me a little here, a little there. He began to heal me through the Word and the anointing and by the Spirit of God. And then come to the place to where he's like, okay, I brought you to a place of deliverance. I've already delivered you, but I brought you to this bridge. He said, I brought you to this place where you got to cross this and not ever go back. And so he said, cross the bridge and burn it. I knew what he was talking about. That's when he gave me he told me one time, he said, take the rearview mirror off. Don't stop looking back. Stop looking back. Look forward. Go forward. Move forward. And so that changed my life. Right? I mean, I had to look forward and move forward. Move forward in the Lord. So I saw myself cross that bridge of bringing the past up, that bridge of anger, that bridge of hatred towards people. That bridge. And so I walked across that. And in my heart, I said, I burn it, Lord, right now. I burn that bridge. And, Lord, I'm not ever looking back to that bridge again. And I've been free for a lot of years not looking back at that bridge. And, you know, it might not be your relationship. It might be your past failures, mistakes you made 28 years ago, 13 years ago, 10 years ago. It don't really make no difference what it is or how when it happened. The past is the past. And the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there's people today that has been hurt in church and they won't go to church. And I thank God for Facebook and YouTube and all that, where they can hear the truth. They won't stand before the Lord and the Lord say, well, I just couldn't get it to you, because you're hearing it right now. You must forgive and get back to the house of God. Forgive those you've been hurt in church. Hallelujah. All of us has been hurt. We hurt at Walmart, but I still go back there. I get upset at people at Walmart. But I don't quit going to Walmart. Why? I want their product. I'm not going to quit going to the house of the Lord. I want the product of the kingdom of God manifesting in my life. And you need it too. You need to go and forgive the pastor. You've been some people, they upset because the pastor corrected them a little bit. I've had people quit here mad because I had one call me a dictator because I set out and I said, okay, this is the way this ministry is. You've got to be faithful at least 2 services a week. You got to be faithful to that ministry. I want you faithful to that ministry. Whatever you got to put off to get to that ministry. I used to be a lot stricter than I am right now. I think that's what wrong, and I've raised a bunch of babies. I think that's what's wrong. So anyways, I said, I want done this way. I said, you go in everywhere you deliver groceries, food to that project house, you go in and you pray for them. You deliver the food, you go in, you pray for them. Well, one Saturday, didn't really feel like praying for them, so didn't pray for them. I let it slide. Another Saturday, didn't go in and pray for them. I didn't let it slide. I said, I don't care what you feel like. I said, I didn't ask you if you felt like going and praying for them on Saturday. I didn't ask you. I said, a lot of food. Had to pull it on a trailer then, man. A bunch of people, you know, delivering too. Well, quit the church. Just quit the church, and now I'm a dictator. Put me all over Facebook. He's a dictator over there. Why? Because you got to come to church like we do? Because you got to pray like we ask you to? Somebody just told me not too long ago, I can't go by the rules and regulations. I said, we don't have a bunch of rules and regulations. I said, we've got guidelines at the church that we go by, all of us, that the church don't suffer. Now, get mad about that. You don't care about the church. Well, don't tell us. We're going to march on for Jesus. We're going to feed the hungry. We're going to clothe the naked. We're going to make disciples. We're going to go all over the world. But if you've been offended at your church and leadership, now listen, you don't have to like your leadership. If God set you under somebody, then God, you got to look to God. You don't look to them. I don't like the way they do things and all of that. See, now I'm under an anointing today. God is bringing some correction in love. He loves us. He's warning us that, you know, protection. The Bible said that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. There is safety. And Satan knows that. Satan gets them unplugged from their church. There's people all over this city right here and everywhere under the sound of my voice. You ain't in the house of God. You've been offended. You ain't got the gas money. You don't feel like it anymore. All of those are excuses that is not going to pan out when you stand before the Lord. And it's going to cost you now because there's healing in the name of Jesus. He said he would supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. He said all things are possible to those who believe. See, there's not an excuse that the power of God can't come and kill. These kind of people that stand on the promises of God, they get the results of the kingdom of God. See, Paul says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. But he didn't deliver them out of the lion's den. He had to go to the lion's den, Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the furnace. That scripture was done here. See, these people were willing to serve God regardless. These people were going to do the will of God regardless. That's how come Paul gets on the island Patmos. He's in the will of God. Hallelujah. Just told somebody this morning, I said, when you find the will of God, you set out to do the will of God. You do that. You stand on that. You stand on the word of God and don't let your heart or your mind be moved. Well, that kind of anointing on that person brings deliverance to that person. Brings deliverance. Paul on the Isle of Patmos over there and goes down to pick up a stick, venomous snake bites him. They watched him. They thought he was a god after this, because that snake, they done seen when somebody on that island gets bit by that snake, they don't live long. They die. Paul shook that thing off, just slung it off. And they went around watching Paul to watch him drop dead, I imagine. But you know, no harm come to Paul. And you know why? Because Paul was under an anointing. He's the one over there that said, if God be for me, what snake can get me? If God be for me, a snake can't kill me. If God be for me, this can't break me. I've had people to tell me, well, the economy's going to get bad. They're saying it now. Well, good, this economy right here, I ain't found it change in 28 years. But God, this economy right here, don't take it. This one will take care of you. The one out there, the world system, it can fail you. The government can fail you. Your Social Security check can fail you. Your food stamps can fail you. My job will fail me. Hallelujah. The Bible says, don't put my trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We put our trust in the living God. Hallelujah. Well, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And young man, y'all will go through. Y'all will have to learn how to live together and build a life together. And y'all going to have to find out the will of God. And there's going to be challenges there, because she don't believe the way me and Teresa still deal with it. But we serve God together. You know, there's going to be challenges in that, but it don't matter. It's worth it. That's what the journey is worth it, to have a life with somebody you love and you care about, and build a family and build a vision and walk with. I still do it today. I've done got a pool. I bought me a dump truck, and I'm gonna haul and build a. I'm gonna build a home. I'm gonna build something back there that I can enjoy. And Teresa, she's trying to learn how to entertain. You know, I'm going to build this, and she better be calling them often. We're going to have birthday parties and all kinds of stuff. I started to invite my family, and I thought, we ain't up to that yet. To go on vacation with us, you know. I thought, they can't handle us yet. Praise God. But you know what? I'm sure even on this, there'll be challenges. You know. Somebody ain't going to like the way I cook bacon. Well, cook your own. You cook too early. Well, sleep all day. We'll eat it at lunch, too. See there? There's one of them right there. You can't go. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? Praise God. I mean, many are the afflictions. You know, we can't go through and let the afflictions get us where we don't enjoy life. I'm going to enjoy this journey even though I have affliction, because I'm going to trust in the Lord. He don't have to deliver me out of all of them, but he'll give me wisdom in them. I'm telling you right now, when I wanted to quit God's door, it don't mean nothing to you. You know why? Because it wasn't your life. If it had been your life, you would have needed a bunch of people. Get the prayer line. Let's get that one to heaven going on. You know any more churches that can pray for me? That's the way you'd have probably failed. Well, you know what? I listened to the Lord, and I shook myself, and I stood up, and I said, bless God, this word works no matter what year it is. This word works no matter what. But it won't work if I don't work it, praise God. So I started working the word again. God began to give me thoughts of what to do, and now I started making choices and took all of that away. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I told y'all that job. I said, I'd send him a message. I said, have your ladies up there to send me $10,000. No problem. He sent me $10,800. I'm like, man, that's said $10,000. I told him $10,000. He sent me $10,800. I thought, well, I'll use it to go on vacation. And I thought, nah, I don't get paid before. I don't like to get money before the job's done. I can get what I want down, but I don't do that. So I got money in the bank. You know, But anyhow, I ain't got to be concerned about that. That trial was over. What if I'd have quit? What if I'd have quit? What if you quit? What if you quit right before God is fixing to move and bring breakthroughs into your life, and you find out later, if I'd just hung on, if I would have just listened to what I was hearing at church, praise God, I would have got breakthroughs. See, God asked me one time about my business because I really didn't want it. I didn't want it, you know. I mean, I just really, you ever just don't want to work? I mean, I don't hardly ever now, but I mean, you own your own business. You put in some hours. I mean, you ain't off at 2 o'clock when everybody goes home. You know, I mean, you're up and you're praying and you're saying, God, what do I do? And then when that phone rings, it'll carry you across 3 or 4 counties in one day. You know, when that phone rings, I mean, it ain't like I'll get it next week. No, they'll get somebody else. But you know what? Trusting and leaning on the Lord makes me even like my job. I'm excited. Tomorrow's Monday. It's a holiday. And the bank said, we're closed tomorrow. I said, well, good. I'm working. You ain't taking off. I said, for what? Teen, what's this? I don't even know what it means. Juneteenth? I said, I heard that last year. It's something about slavery freedom. Well, I've been freed a long time. So I don't need a holiday on freedom. I got one every day. I'm not racist in my heart no more. I've been set free. And if all of these people got racist against, all they need is this Jesus I got. And then they won't need to celebrate Juneteenth. Whatever it is. Juneteenth. Let's come up with that garbage last year. First time I ever heard it. Won't stir up all this racism. More racism stirred up in the last 2 years than I ever seen in my life. All the way up into the government, praise God. They're so blinded to it. The Bible says that if the truth is hid, it's hid by the God of this world. It's blinded the hearts and minds. He said, lest the light of the glorious gospel. Well, we ain't going to have no light of the glorious gospel if we get in there with them, if we be in there racism with them, if we get in there blinded from the truth with them. He said, lest the light of the glorious light of the gospel shine in. Well, you know how it's going to shine in? This Bible ain't talking. It ain't got a mouth. Guess who does? We do. We are the preachers of the gospel. We are the light that's shining in this dark world. We are the one hurling the message. We're the one, hallelujah. And you know, it's not necessarily the preaching. It's standing up and letting people like Paul, letting people in that arena he was in. He believed God and the power showed up and made believers out of them. These people tell me all the time, they'll say, man, we can't believe you and Teresa made it. Well, what am I saying? Why did I say that? Because they see that God, we've been serving God. They know that it's only God. They know. They know because they knew our life. They know that we're where we at. It ain't because we got smart all of a sudden. It's because we got born again at 27 and Teresa was 20, 19 or 20. We got born again. And then our life really began to change. See, if you're going to have God's power, don't play around with God. Don't, you know, just be real with God. You don't have to be perfect, but have a real heart after God. God, I'm going to serve you. I don't really know how to serve you, God, but I'm going to serve you. You're going to show me how to serve you, God. Help me to be a man that really loves you, God, that really wants you, God. Help me. I mean, have a heart like that. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, although he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had was it Uriah's, put him on the front lines to get him killed. To cover up his garbage. I mean, he did, but you know, he was an honorable man. He went out there anyways. He wasn't gonna stay at home. See, David tried to cover up a lot of stuff. See, But God showed me one time, he said, because he had a heart to repent. And I thought, well, he said, don't take that as you can just keep doing things, you know, and just repent and have a heart, because I'm Satan trying to trip me up with that. He said, no, he said, I've got the Holy Spirit in you now. I've got the power of God in you. He said, but my point in that message, in that Bible, is how I'm quick to forgive, how I will forgive you and bring you in and still raise you up and make you reign. That's been 15 years ago, 20. See, Psalm 66:12 says that you went through the flood, went through the fire, men rode over your heads. But he said, but I brought you out to a wealthy place, to an abundant place. And you know what I was thinking this morning? You know, I'm not really qualified to pastor this church, as far as in my mind. I'm God's choice. You know, I mean, I can't stand without him. I can't do what I do out under the anointing. It crushes me. I've done been there. You can't do what you're called to do, whether it's ministry or not, out from under that. You need that. You got to have that. You got to have God moving. You got to have God keeping. You got to have God guiding. You got to have God's anointing and God's grace. We're not equipped after we get born again to do this God thing without him. We can't do this God thing without seeking him. We can't do this God thing. See, we can put our trust in money. Money can be your God. It pays your light bills. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can. And he said he would have no other God before him. See, we got to be balanced in here. But it takes the Holy Spirit to balance us, that we have the anointing to go work on the thing that we're not trusting in. That thing that we're not trusting in, we're trusting in God, is going to bring God's stuff to us. That makes sense to you? Instead of, I got to go to work, I got to make money. But I've had people to tell me, Scotty don't understand, he ain't got my bills. I've started to go to a bunch of them and say, let me pile mine on yours and you'll commit suicide. But I got a bunch of them. And I've trusted in things, uncertain riches, you know, learning how to trust God, learning how not to trust in my job, so that the anointing can be on all that and it won't fail me. God don't fail. He said, over there in Psalm 66, he said, you went through the fire. You went through the flood. He said, but I brought you out. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel. They went through the fire. They went through flood. But he brought them out. He brought them out to an abundant place. And God spoke to me. He said, that's for the end time church. He told me that 20 years ago. That's for the end time church. He said, the Old Testament, he said, those in the Old Testament, he said, they are the shadow of the church to come. He said, just as I had them to walk up and gaze on the serpent on the pole and they were healed. He said, that was a shadow of Jesus that was going to come and sacrifice and heal you all and deliver you all. That's what that represented. Represented the coming of Jesus. See, we're living in a time, we hear it, I hear it, because I hear a lot of preaching on TV. You know, I listen to sermons. I'll go home, if Teresa ain't in there right quick, I'll turn on a sermon right quick. get me a little 30-minute sermon after church. After church. I get it on my phone. You know, I'll go down the road listening to Smith Wigglesworth. He reminds me of Smith Wigglesworth, stature wise. He cast out demons. He was specialized in casting out demons. See, demonic powers are at work in this earth. We know that because the Bible says it. It says we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's Ephesians 6. 10 says, for me and you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then it goes on and says all that. That we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. They are real. Then he goes on down there and says what we need to do. Take on the armor of God. Breastplate of right, helmet of salvation. The, you know, going on down, it says taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, that's why we can't focus on our immediate thing. You need to get focused in on it, because we got the enemy. He'll distract you with a little bitty thing. It might feel like a big thing. It might feel like it's going to destroy you. But it is a little thing trying to distract you from the big things that he's trying to get you to make choices so he can do. That's why he wants me to say I'm sick. Had somebody ask me the other day, how are you doing? How are you doing with all this heat? My mind goes back to open heart surgery, the way I felt. I thought, how are you doing? I said, the heat can't whip me. I said, I'm good. I bought me a couple little whirly fans, and look, God, I get a breeze going on in there. But, you know, even when I'm off, I'm out there working in the sun on something. Travis goes home, and I start tinkering with something right out in the sun. That heat don't bother me. But you know why? I'm not saying that I'm some big bad boy. But I told them, I said, I've got an anointing from the Lord on my life all the time. I said, I've got it in the sun. I've got it in the shade. I've got it in the winter. I've got it in the summer. I said, so therefore, none of these things move me. But I don't think like your average Joe. I don't think like your average Christian. I'm gonna venture out there and say 75% of Christians that I know don't have a mindset like God. They don't have a thinking in their heart like Jesus. Now, he was Jesus. Well, the Bible says, let that mind be in you that was also in Jesus. Does it or not? Well, some people, well, they won't never have it. But God, if the Bible says that I can think like Jesus, then I got to go in there and find out how Jesus thinks. What did he think about sickness and disease? What did he think about the scribes and the Pharisees? What did he think about the devil? He walked up and they said, you're come before your time. We know who you are. You come to torment us. They knew him. They know me. They know you, whether you know them or not. They know you. They hear your complaining, your griping, your complaining. They hear it. Nobody knows how bad it is. I heard from my head to my toes. They're listening to that garbage. That is garbage coming out of your mouth and going into somebody's ear that's got their own problems, and it sure ain't helping you. Hallelujah. Where did you come up with that, Brother Scotty? The Bible says death and life is in the power of my tongue. I don't know about yours, but it says it in my Bible. I can either speak life or I can speak death. I can get in there and get in there complaining, or I can praise God. I got a choice. I got a choice in this matter. And if I choose to praise God, then I'm on the winning side. If I choose to murmur and complain, then I'm on the losing side. I'm giving Satan power. I'm letting Satan rob me of the faith that the Holy Spirit gives me through the Word. I just thought about this morning. I thought, well, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to haul me some church. And I got to go over there and run that bulldozer. My first thought was diesel fuel is $5.60 a gallon. Well, you know, that dozer ain't cheap. That sucker locks that fuel if you're running it. And I thought, why did that thought come to me after I thought about doing my vision? There you go. You just got it. I will not go over there and put 5 gallon in there, because it's going to cost me $40. See, that thought is there to stop yours and my vision. You know what we got to do? I'm giving you an example of what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me 2 or 3 diesel fuel cans. And just because of that thought, I am going to fill all of them up. And I'm going to tell Satan all the way over there, if you do that again, I'm going back to the store, because you are not going to move me with $5 and something thoughts a gallon. Peanut butter's high. Well, don't eat it. Fast. Bread's high. Fast. Paul said he was in fastings often. How often do you fast? You think you're going to starve to death? I've got reserves. I guarantee you I can do without food for a long time. I need to lose about 40 pounds. And there's plenty of water. See, what I'm saying here, we have to have a mindset. I might be in the fire, I might be in the flood, but God, sooner or later, you're going to bring me out to an abundant place. God, I'm not going to quit hearing your word. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit keeping my mind stayed on you, God. I'm not going to quit having actions because I believe in you, God. I'm going to have faith in you just like Paul and them did. And the viper didn't kill him, Lord. Samson toted the gate, so he was in rebellion and lost the anointing. You know, if you're sitting at home today mad about church and you are in rebellion to the Lord, and you will lose your strength, and the enemy will have the ability to come in just like he did Samson and take you captive and start to destroy everything that God brought to you. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Give the devil no place. Don't give him no place. Hallelujah. So, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 23, he says, though the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Somebody say, the Lord's my shepherd. Well, then what are you going to want? Nothing. You're not going to want. If the Lord is your shepherd, the Bible says you shall not want. If he really is your Lord, then he'll deliver you from sickness and disease. He'll bring you out. It don't mean it won't attack you, won't come against you, but he'll bring you out, and he'll bring you out better. Some old man just told me the other day, and they don't serve the Lord. He don't serve the Lord, but he's talking about COVID. Yeah, I got that COVID, and I ain't been the same since. I just can't get no energy back, and this is probably his confession everywhere he goes, ever since he got COVID. I looked at him, and I said, yeah, I got it too. I said, all I thought is I had a sinus infection. I said, and found out later that I had COVID. Ooh, glad I got it. Now I got antibodies. But I had some antibodies before then. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And so you know, I left and I thought, I've got the advantage, Lord, of people like him. I got COVID and I wouldn't let it affect me. He got COVID and all he can do is say, it might not even be the case. It might be satanic attacks. And he can only link it to COVID. Because you're not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. So everything is just, you know, things happen and that's just the way it is. No, things don't happen and that's the way it is. Things happen to these people in the Bible, but that wasn't the way it was. Praise God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow. They knew they were going to go in there, and they said, even if he don't deliver us, we're not going to bow down. Even if he don't show up. See, you got to say in your heart, even if God don't show up and bail me out of this mess, I'm not going to bow to nothing else. I'm going to serve the Lord. You have to make your mind up with God's help or without God's help, you ain't going to turn back on God. But God will always be there because we know what the scriptures. I'm just going a little deeper than the average thinking, you know. See, the Bible says, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Well, Jesus is everybody's Savior, but he's not everybody's Lord. The Lord tells me to do this ministry. If he's my Lord, I do this ministry. I don't say, well, God, they won't nobody come to church. We ain't got no money. I got all kinds of excuses, too. I got them now. I told Aubrey, I said, you have scrubbed the makeup off of my arm. She looked at my arm. She said, Papa, well, you got makeup on your arm, Papa? Did you really? And I said, yes. I was covering up those bruises. Now you can see them. I got in Teresa's makeup. You know, some of that stuff y'all use to make your face look like your skin or whatever. I bruise easy. People, hey, you getting old? Shut that up. Don't tell me I'm getting old. I know how old I am. Well, that's the way it is when you get old. That's nobody knows. I'm not singing that tune. But God, I can live 120 years if I want to, according to the Bible, and get stronger and stronger and stronger. Told Travis the other day, went on a job. Can't get people to go to work, man. They won't go to work. And that's fine. Made up my mind. You know, I'm only 55. But God told him, I said, well, we'll go up there. I said, when you get them stacked, we'll get all these doors stacked. I said, I'm going to drag the ladder off the truck and come in behind you winding them springs and stuff. You won't have to do that. I said, listen, I want to. I need it. It's good for me. So I drug that old 10-foot ladder off the truck. But God, I go in there and I thought, he ain't going to be saying it very long that my arms ain't big as they was before I got that surgery. I'm winding your springs, man. I'm climbing that ladder. My calves was tied. I bet you could have busted a bottle on the calves of my legs. Climbing up that ladder, and then I'm working out, baby. Oh, son, you just don't know it. I'm going to be tight for long. Hallelujah. I drug it all through that building, praying God, praising God the whole time. I think if we'd have had somebody with us, we might have got done 20, 30 minutes quicker. I can outwork two of them most of the time. Boy, you're a boastful little thing. No, I'm faithful. And I can't help it. The Bible says the righteous are bold. He didn't say they stupid and arrogant. They're humble. But they realize that working and working with God cause you to be strong on the inside, healed on the inside, out of your spirit, out into your body and your mind. Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Don't have faith in anything but God. People have faith in the devil. I was talking to somebody on one side of the family here a while back. They said, well, you know, everybody's just got something. Everybody's just got something. It's my knees. It's mama's legs. It's blah, blah, blah. You know, and I said, well, I said, we can get rid of all that. They don't like you saying that. It upsets people. I mean, is it not good news that you're $100,000 in debt and you can get rid of it? Is that good news or what? I was thinking about when I went through open heart surgery and didn't have insurance. And the bill racked up to $130,000 down there. $130,000 plus $22,000 at Coleman. Some more that we paid. We paid them. And you know what? I went through and I applied for some assistance down there, you know, and I made too much. They go by your gross, blah, blah, blah. Turned me down. Sent me letters. Turned me down. And Teresa, just throw it in the garbage. You know, it was really aggravating and frustrating with the trial. Have you ever been in a trial and it's just really aggravating and frustrating? That is really a good place to be. Because it is a place to be put on in to a place of power. It ain't no different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's no different than Daniel in the lion's den. We're serving God, and these things are happening to us. That happened to me too, and tried to get me convinced that I can't do the will of God. But I took the scripture where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, you don't turn to the weak feelings. You don't turn to your emotions or what you think. Look, fear would give you a picture of defeat. I mean, fear and seeing things without God will cause you to start thinking what could happen, to get you to have faith in that. Well, Teresa, just forget it. Look, God will believe God, you know, and I mean, you know, just forget it. And I thought, I'm not going to do it. I'm sending it one more time. I'm believing God for this. So I sent it again, and you know what? They turned me down again. And I thought, well, bless God, I'm going to pay my bill. See, y'all Christians in here that wants to go rack up an emergency bill and don't want to pay it, you are ungodly in that. You understand me? You needed them to help you, and you need to be responsible to pay them whether you think they're high or not. I know you ain't going to get this everywhere, but by golly, we're going to get into that abundant place. And God will be able to take us to that abundant place. Well, I've got a lot of bills. Sell some stuff. Get down and ask God, what do I need to do, dear Lord? I've got myself in a mess, Father, and I repent and I will yield to you. I have done it myself, and God had me to sell the things that I really didn't want to sell, but I praise him today. I have everything, and it's paid for of my vehicle and things because of following. But anyway, I sent that again, and then they turned me down again. See, a turn down don't mean God didn't do nothing. So now I got to make the righteous choice. What's the right thing to do? Set up payments and start paying them bills. I can't afford it. It don't make no difference what I can afford. I told them and signed that I would pay that. Now I've got to believe God for the money for that. See, I might not get my swimming pool. I might have to get rid of two cell phones. I might have to turn Netflix and all of that off. I mean, I might have to get rid of $300 worth of DirecTV bills a month. But I'm gonna pay all this that I don't have to have on to them doctor bills or them cars I let go back. I know you're quiet, but it's good. Because before you know it, you'll come to that place where everything's wiped away, black God, and you got a good name, and you can get and have what you want when you want, and you don't want much because you got everything. So I picked up the phone, called. I said, okay. I thought, Lord, I'm going to pay $1,000 a month. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay $500 on this, or $250, was it? I think it might have been $250 each. Well, this was just a UAB. It was $500. That's what I was going to do. I was going to pay $250 on one and $250 a month on the other one. So I picked the phone up and got in touch with the one that I wanted to. And I said, look, I said, I don't know why y'all turned me down, and that's fine on that. I said, I do what I say. I said, I want to set up payments on this right now. I said, I want to pay I'm going to pay $250 a month on this one, on the $15,000, whatever it is, and $130,000, I'm going to pay $250 on this. That's right. One was the hospital, and it was $130,000, and the doctor was $16,000, whatever it was. She said, okay. She said, I'll be right back. Got to go back to my manager. And in my mind, while she's gone, see, in your trial, don't let your mind go to working. In my mind, I thought, man, I won't never get this paid off. I'll be paying on this the rest of my life. I mean, my mind. And so I cast those thoughts down, and I thought, nope, I'll pay it off early. See, you got to come back. You got to come back and not get down there in despair, going to be paying all your life on that, or whatever your case is that seems really, really bad to you. God is a big God. I'm telling you right now, God is a big, 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 big God. He's able to do it if you let him. He's able to do abundantly above, greater than you can think or. But he can't do it without you. That's how come millions of God's people are sitting out there without the power of God. Without it. Their choice. See, sometimes you got to put it on your refrigerator. Sometimes you got to put it on your rearview mirror. Sometimes you got to stick it on your dash. Just to be reminders to not get your eyes off him right now. Whatever you got to do. Well, she comes back. And she said, I don't know what happened. And I could feel it. This is going to be good. This is gonna... She said, I don't know why they did it. She said, but that my manager told me if you will pay $350 on this $130,000 today and pay $500 a month on the doctor bills, that they will wipe the $130,000 off. I said, by golly, hold on, let me get my card. God, in 1 minute, because I was trusting him and to set out to do the right thing, delivered me from $130,000 in a matter of minutes. So don't you tell me you can't make it financially. Don't you tell me, because I'm going to tell you, if you tell me that, you don't know God. You don't know how to believe God. You're going to have to get your books out. You're going to have to go to grammar school in faith. You're going to have to get down there where you learn how to use faith. Learn how to use it. $130,000. Pop. I thought, glory to God. Lifetime. Paid a lifetime bill for me in just a minute or two. But you know what I thought? I thought I gave God the right to move in that. I gave him the right to move in that. He couldn't move in that until I gave him the right to move on them down yonder. I wasn't trusting in them. I was trusting in God to bring the money in to me to pay them. My heart was right, and God did it. And you know what? Set up the $500 a month. Sandy comes to Teresa. We couldn't afford it. No, Sandy comes to me, and she said, I just really feel like the Lord. You're supposed to get $500 a month from the church. I said, you heard from God. Bless God, you're anointed, girl. You go, girl. You go, girl. You go, girl. You go, girl. Well, you know what? God brought the $500. He brought the $500 a month for that doctor bill. But God, it didn't cost me nothing. And then you know what? We believe together that we're not going to pay this out 3 years. That we're going to believe God. We felt like we might have got bit by that viper, but we're shaking it off. So we believed God to pay that off early, and it is paid off today. We paid it all off last year. Every doctor bill that I had has paid off in less than 3 years. Don't you tell me that God is not big enough to get you gas money. Oh, yeah, don't even mind me that. Ambulance overcharged me. And I had to get that girl, get her mind off of me, and I'm trying to pray in tongues, and she's messing with me. On the way to hospital, I think she was flirting with me. I'm trying to pray in tongues, Johnny. I ain't got no insurance. I'm on my way to get open heart surgery. All this is trying to ride on my mind. And then I think the girl was flirting with me. And so I'm trying to pray in tongues. So it got a little louder. I'm thinking, man, is he going into shock or what? Should have asked me. Now I'm praying in tongues, man. Don't y'all know Jesus? Give a good old sermon on the way down there to the hospital. You can't convince me that God's not big enough to deliver Bluntsville. You can't convince me that God is not big enough to deliver all of y'all guys out of the troubles y'all in. Hallelujah. All you got to do is make some God decisions. Make some God decisions, and it ain't the church praying for you. Church can pray till their eyeballs pops out and they starve to death by fasting for you, but until you make some God decisions, there ain't nothing going to happen from God in your life. The Bible says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Then it says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. It says, have the faith of God. What is that faith like you? You thinking that? The Bible says he dealt to every man the measure of faith. Somebody told me this morning, they said, you had a little faith or whatever. I said, that's all you need. All you need is a little. You don't need big faith. All you need is a little faith. Just use that faith that you have. Put that faith on one scripture. One scripture can deliver a nation. It says, whatsoever things you desire. Do you desire for your marriage to be better? Well, pray, believe God, and then act like it is. Act on the word. I saw Johnny and Samantha. I don't know what they went through. I didn't really want to know. All I knew is I'm hanging in there with you, man. That's all I knew. I didn't know what in the world's going on. I thought, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen this kind of weird thing happen. You know, they got married and then something happened. Hadn't seen her in a year or two. You know, and Johnny, he, and I thought, well, ask him what's up. And I thought, ain't none of my business. See, some of y'all too nosy. You get your nose up in it, and then you can't have no faith for them because you don't think it ought to be turning out the way it is. You think I ought to be doing something else. So keep your nose out of everybody's business and keep your faith in there with them. Come on, somebody. I don't try to find out about y'all. I might ask how are you or how somebody is, but anything deeper than that, none of my business. That way I can fight the battles with you. Well, here they go. Johnny, I've seen him. I mean, fasting Duke come in here one time. He done turned white. You know, he's looking rough. The boy's fasting. I think he's fasting, man. I mean, he went for an extended fast. He's turning looking like a little white boy. You know, getting skinny, man. I thought I'm going to have to bring him a rope out of the back of the truck, tie them britches up, man. I could get in there with him. What I'm saying is, I thought, now that's a man right there and that's a woman right there. They ain't going to turn loose easy. They going to fight and they going to believe. He got one time they prayed. I want my little family took care of whatever he said, I don't remember. One time. And I believed we prayed and I believed we received it, and bless God, I see it. And I don't need an explanation. I see God. God sitting right there. Right there. What Satan means for bad, God works to our good. Satan actually works for those that stay in faith. He works for me. The idiot tries something, and I force him to bless me. He steals from me, I force him to pay me seven times. I ask him, are there anything else? Do you want anything else? Do you want some more guitars on me? Stole the guitars out of the truck, come told y'all, we caught Satan. Yeah, we know it was these thugs, and these are children, they drug addicts, they broke into church, stole all of our equipment, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? Come on, somebody. They was yielding to the devil. It takes a devil to come in church and steal your guitars. Come find out they're gone. I take it up there, and I said, Lord, thank you for your word. Your word says Satan was caught, and he has to pay seven times. And I told Satan, I said, I command you right now, in the name of Jesus, you are going to pay this church seven times what those guitars was worth. Somebody heard the sermon, pray God, out of somewhere, I don't know, out of state, and sent us a $3,000 check for those $1,000 guitars. And I thought, man, Satan, don't you want to come back in the other door? That was a pretty good deal. Got upgraded on all our stuff. And some people, I cannot believe people would go in the church. You don't know what your Bible says. It says evil men. Let me tell you, I heard a sermon this morning. It's good to listen to preachers on TV. other than just the one you like. He's talking about how dangerous this world is. Dangerous. I mean, there's killers ride by your house, probably. He didn't say that. Probably every day, every night. This world is dangerous. This world is more dangerous right now than I've ever seen it in my life of 55 years. Dangerous. Dangerous people. Dangerous driver. Dangerous airplane flyers. You got dangerous people living everywhere. But you know what? He was talking about that. I thought, yeah. And he goes to talking about how that we have God's protection. That we can't do enough to be safe enough. You can't get enough guns to be safe in your house. You can't get enough guns in your truck to be safe. I mean, you can't get enough. He said, I've got nine airbags in my vehicle. That's not safe enough. A semi will squash them. Right? But he was talking about how that those that are trusting the Lord, those that are relying on the Lord, here we go again in this life faith thing, and I thought about it. I thought about how the Bible says that the angels of God are encamped around about those that fear the Lord, and I recall the situation in Gunnerville where me and my brother, I was driving, and we started across the causeway, and I started opening a bag of chips, and the steering wheel jerked. I thought my brother jerked it. He jerked it, and I thought we was going to go off into Gunnerville Lake, and I grabbed the wheel and got focused there, and I looked at him, and I said, don't you ever touch that steering wheel. Don't you ever do that again. What? He said, I'm wondering what driving stupid like that for. I said, man, you know good and well you jerked that wheel. I was going across over here in the other lane, and I said, you know good well you jerked that wheel. He said, I didn't touch that wheel. I thought your stupid driving over there is going to get us killed. And then all of a sudden, on the inside, I heard the word of God. I heard it. He said, the angels of God encamp around about the, and an angel did it. An angel jerked that truck over there perfectly in that other lane and straightened it up. I know it. I know it. I know it. So I want to encourage you. I don't know what the title was, but it sure was good to me. So you keep your mind on the Lord. You keep your focus in Jesus. You bleed to be healed from your head to your... I don't care how old your body gets. You don't do like the rest of the world. It's the way it is when it gets old. Not for me, it ain't. Not for the ones that's going to serve God in this Bible. The Bible says, yeah, your outward man's perishing, but your inward man's renewed day by day. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.